Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for July 26, 2016. The time right now is 7 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Scarborough, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Davis, Camp, and Gamble.
Thank you. And I believe, in fact, I know that Councilmember Hanford had mentioned last week that he would be gone this week. And so we'll go ahead and consider him an excused. Consider him excused without opposition, unless there's opposition. Okay. Councilmember Gamble, will you please lead us in the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item that we have on the agenda this evening is a presentation from our Snohomish County Sheriff, Ty Trenary. And thank you very much for coming and presenting this evening.
Good evening, Council members, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the opportunity to attend your meeting. I'm not sure that you'll classify this as a presentation by the time I'm done, but hopefully I will be able to kind of share and give you an idea of kind of what's going on in Snohomish County and how maybe that applies to you all here in the city of Monroe. Been with the Sheriff's Office for a really, really long time. I'm not going to give the date because it will give my age, but I've had an opportunity to see a lot of trends in policing. The meth epidemic that we saw in the 90s was probably, for me as a patrol deputy, a very horrific thing. We saw homes blowing up in neighborhoods. There was really some community safety issues. And honestly, as a young cop, I really didn't think of heroin as a problem. We saw that mainly as an inner city, Seattle, downtown Tacoma problem. I spent, prior to becoming the sheriff, I served in the city of Sandwood as their police chief, which is a contract city, and I had the first real taste of what we were seeing, what we see now with heroin. I'll just tell you, the meth epidemic that I referenced here a few seconds ago pales into comparison with what we're seeing with heroin. Call it a public health epidemic, call it a public safety issue. We have not seen the kind of numbers in terms of drug abuse that we're seeing now in Snohomish County, quite frankly, throughout the country. It's even become part of the national debate in terms of who's running for president. I'll tell you, unfortunately, Snohomish County currently ranks in the top three, and how we get there is through overdoses and deaths, which is obviously not the statistic you want to be using. And you might think that King County and Pierce County, because of population, might be one and two, and quite frankly, that's not the case. The challenge for us is trying to figure out how to get here. On top of the heroin issue that we're struggling with, we see a huge increase in homelessness. The point in time count that was done in early 2016 showed a huge increase, and quite frankly, mental illness is at a place where we've not seen it. I've not seen it in almost near my 30 years. I don't have a PhD. I didn't bring a big study for you to read, but candidly, I'll tell you, I think the three things I've mentioned are all absolutely connected. In the city of Everett, where my office is, we work really closely with the Everett Police Department. We've had to really kind of change the way we do policing. In my office, we have a unit that's called the Office of Neighborhoods, and that's kind of really what I wanted to just speak briefly about tonight. And the Office of Neighborhoods, it puts uniformed patrol deputies with social workers. Many people are tired of this joke, but candidly, if you told me 20 years ago my partner in the patrol car was going to be a social worker, I'd have laughed at you. But given what we see, given this increase in quite frankly, mentally ill, drug addicted, homeless people, our best asset right now is the ability to figure out what's upstream, how do we fix it. So what we're doing in the county, and I think if Chief Templeman from Everett would hear, he would echo, is we go out to areas. We have really large, robust homeless areas in South Snohomish County. Quite frankly, it's all over in our county, but South County is where we see the worst. And we go out to these camps and meet with individuals, talk to them about what's going on. In some cases, it's an opportunity for a young woman who left her family in Southern California. It's the opportunity for her to get a cell phone from a deputy and call mom and dad and say, hey, this is my weekly check-in. I'm still alive and I'm okay. In many other cases, it's an opportunity for us to develop rapport. There's a huge trust, right? Because when guys like me or men and women like me dressed like this walk into a homeless camp, usually the first thought is, oh, they're here to help. Usually it's the cops are here, we need to take off. And our challenge has been not using the jail, candidly. The jail, maybe some of you have heard me say that we've overused the jail for every problem society has. It currently still represents the largest de facto mental health hospital in Snohomish County. And just candidly, it was not built, it's not designed, nor is it staffed to serve that purpose. So what we do is we connect with folks. Social worker determines what's going on, and if an individual, and it happens almost daily, says, hey, I want help, we get them help right now. That day. Social worker, we have relationships with a ton of providers throughout the state of Washington and, quite frankly, other states. We work with several really good places in California who very often give us a scholarship. And the challenge then is if somebody wants help, you know, say hey, we'll be back in 30 days and, you know, be here, we'll pick you up. We help them load them up, pick up their belongings, and in most cases we take them to the Department of Licensing. Because you can't get anything, any type of services, without picture ID. So we get them picture ID, and if the day goes well, we get them delivered to whatever type of facility they need. In almost every case, it's some type of addiction, because heroin is kind of the tip of the spear of this problem. And then, and candidly, one of the things we've learned is we stay in contact. We stay in contact with the facility. If they successfully complete it, and many are, we're there at graduation. We've worked with the provider to hopefully to connect them with places like Catholic Community Services and other nonprofits in our county for housing and job training. And the idea really behind this model is that these are people that if we were to track through the public safety system in a year, in many cases would use hundreds of thousands of dollars of services to rotate through the jail, where if we can get them, we can get them basically one-stop shopping, where we identify what the issue is, fix it, and then get them back into society. We eliminate that revolving door that we talk about in terms of the jail. The social work has been really good for us. I've had an opportunity to talk to your mayor several times. Not only is it a subject matter expert that looks at a problem differently than law enforcement might look at it, but we're finding that they can serve to help us with training. Crisis intervention training is kind of one of the buzzwords right now in the legislature and in law enforcement training, and having the ability to have a social worker as part of the agency that not only is out there on the street helping us solve problems, but also is able to come back and train officers in terms of what's the latest and greatest techniques for de-escalation. When it comes to CIT training, just taught at the state level, those are great programs, but very often they don't get into the weeds on what services are available. We don't have a lot of services in Snohomish County, but having a social worker that has connections really means that we cut a lot of corners. And so we see a lot of good coming out of this. My hope is that we'll continue to expand the program. There are areas, I live up in the Stanwood area, and we track a lot of problem houses. So houses that are bank-owned, people left the home. The home is now owned by any number of banks, and people are using it as an opportunity to have a roof over their head and also as a place to use and do drugs. And so the next step for us is looking into those areas and trying to kind of stem off the problem. The last thing I'll say, and then I'll shut up, is we've really been successful at the county level in terms of drug take-back. We know part of the problem is in what we all get at the pharmacy. Our kids, through Health of Youth surveys, tell us almost every 2 years that their experimentation with drugs starts in our medicine cabinet. I bet if everybody in the audience went home, you'd probably find some type of type 3 schedule narcotic, probably an opioid, that you had a root canal or something that was broken or hurt, and you were prescribed medication. You took one or two pills and you left it there. Well, that, unfortunately, in many cases, serves as an opportunity to start this problem I've described. And I'll just end by saying that we've seen great success. We're hoping that we'll be able to expand it in other parts of the county, and I appreciate your time. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you very much, Sheriff. Councilmembers, any questions, comments? Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you for coming. That's great. That was a great presentation, so I appreciate it. You were talking about the Office of Neighborhoods. It sounds like a great program. How are you measuring whether it's successful or not?
So it's been tough. I'll tell you, the measurement for us right now, about a year in, is how many people do we get help for? Mm-hmm. That we see graduate, that kind of move on. How many times are we seeing people repeat that process? And so far we haven't seen any. So that's a good number for us. There's some challenges. Obviously, what happens when we book somebody in the jail, when they're released, they go right back to where they came from. So in this program, what we're trying desperately to do is get what's going on fixed, and then create a place that's away from where we got them from, so that they don't have that they're not back in the problem to begin with. And that can be challenging. And honestly, we have a sergeant, two deputies, and two social workers. So we're dealing with hundreds of people together.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned, you know, fixing the problem upstream. So are there solutions in trying to fix it, you know, before it even occurs? Like, have you seen programs? What programs do you think are working out there that are helping getting it to the point of heroin and all of that?
I think we've got significant challenges. I probably could tell I could talk about this for 2 hours. I'm giving you a soundbite, but we need to change the way that we handle pharmaceutical drugs. Mm-hmm. The county's imposed a drug take back that will start next year, where people can take their drugs back to their pharmacies and have them out of the home. Unfortunately, we just had a large, I think some of you attended a presentation recently, we had a large drug cartel operating in Snohomish County. We recovered $4 million in drugs and money. And so it's supply and demand. We have to change the culture of why people need drugs. And a lot of that starts with, I got hurt on the job, I got addicted to painkiller, heroin's available, and they make that slow progression where they lose everything. Heard that story a lot. It's a complicated problem.
And then something else I heard, I don't know if this is true or not, is that heroin users aren't the type that commit crimes or do robberies. Is would that be accurate more so than meth? It's a different...
I need to be careful that, yes, I'm not putting my PhD hat on. But certainly the effects of drugs are different. With methamphetamine, which was a stimulant, we saw a completely different type of individual, very amped up, very confrontational. Heroin is much more of a depressant, so you don't see the same kind of behaviors. But candidly, the trends are the same. It's an addiction for which most people can't cure on their own. And when they get to that rock bottom place, petty theft, stealing from their neighbors, stealing around homeless camps, becomes the only way they can feed their habit. We are seeing huge increases in property crimes.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
You brought up the presentation at the Snohomish Small Cities, I believe, actually up in Stanwood. And what you did go in depth and detail on the $4 million worth of drugs in that bust. And I guess from the standpoint of maybe just a concrete, your point on why we would want to, you know, we're investing on the front end is what has that, I mean, did we see any blip in the radar? I mean, that's on the back end, obviously, in the epidemic. And then the second part of that question is that, you know, what can we do as a local municipality to help?
I'm going to answer the second part of that question first. I think that you're all doing that. I'll tell you, I don't know if your chief talks about this much or not, but we're very fortunate in Snohomish County to have a very tight-knit law enforcement agency. You know, we don't really get hung up in jurisdictional boundaries and silos. The chiefs and I work really, really closely together. We use our people where they're needed, not, I don't believe, you know, you're in the city, so don't go out of the city. We work very closely together, and I think that's a major step in the right direction. And so I think we need to keep doing that. I think we need to have this conversation. My wife won't go with me anymore, these kinds of things, because I always end it with, go home and get whatever drugs you need, you don't need in your home, and get rid of them. Because our kids are telling us over and over again, that's where they're starting their habit. And lastly, the first part of your question, I don't know. I would be guessing to stand up here and say there was a huge impact. We're not seeing it. With the drug arrest that we did, we're not seeing it. There's so much demand right now. The largest arrest we make, it almost feels like within days, they're right back to where they were.
Anybody else with any comments or questions? Sure.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much for coming out.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda this evening is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter that is subject to a public hearing. We do have a sign-in sheet, and I will call off of that sheet. As you're speaking, please note that public comment is limited to 3 minutes. The timer will show up here. And the first person that we have to speak who signed up is Lance Smith, I think.
That's right.
Okay. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, and thank you very much for coming this evening.
Hi. Lance Smith, of course. I'm the owner of State Roofing Company, and I'm here to talk about the revision that's being proposed. I suppose it sounds like it's not as past the proposal stage at this point, it sounds like, on Kelsey Street there, and I would just kind of brought to my attention because of the letter that was sent out that was doing that. And my son wrote a letter. I don't know if anybody read that. Oh, they did. Okay. So you're kind of familiar with what our objection is. The the wheel up truck traffic in and out of the and the gate that's just about straight across from Blueberry Lane is where when the trucks come through, they're too big to turn around. They go out that gate, and with this curb in there, they're not going to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So it's going to completely stop the traffic that was for the larger trucks that come in. And then the trucks that can turn around that have like a 45-foot trailer, we can turn those around in there. And then when they pull out of the driveway that's farther from the Blueberry intersection, that concrete curb in the center, of course, is they're going to have to run over that in order to get out, at least based on the drawing. And so it's going to make a huge problem for us. And I realize that that intersection's a mess. We deal with it, we've been there for 35 years, so I know exactly why you're looking at some changes. So I've been watching it the last couple of nights, specifically watching traffic on that, because we go in and out of there, every day, hundreds of times sometimes. And I actually took a bunch of pictures, and I was hoping maybe you'd consider some change, a possible revision of what your consideration is, because from what I, as I watched it, now it wasn't really busy because school's not in session, of course, so it's not as busy this time of year, but what I see the major problem with the backup on Kelsey is the people that are trying to turn left onto Blueberry. That's what backs up the traffic down Kelsey Street, because you get 3 or 4 people in a row that want to turn left there, and then the traffic coming off of Highway 2, if the light's just right and things happen just right, nobody can move down Kelsey Street. So during the busy time of the day, you can back up for 2 or 3 blocks, and it can, a lot of that is because the people trying to turn left off of Kelsey onto Blueberry, not so much the people trying to turn off of Blueberry onto Kelsey. So it took, and I, because I don't know what you guys have talked about because I haven't followed it, I did take a few pictures as a possible consideration.
Go ahead.
I don't know.
Do you have a bunch of single copies?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's
just
kind
go
of
ahead.
Pair that show a picture of the direction coming from looking north and the pictures looking south. And as you see, the distance between the railroad tracks and Blueberry Lane, the road is really wide there. For some reason, there's a right turn, a free right turn lane, which is kind of unnecessary when you're turning right. And the other picture is looking to the north, and it shows a big grass with a sidewalk in it, which is city right away now. And it's plenty wide enough with about 150 foot of asphalt there.
Thank you.
You could create a turn lane for the people trying to turn off Kelsey.
And Mr. Smith, I'm sorry, I just noticed that we're down to about 30 seconds.
I know I don't have much time, but obviously the last problem that's going to create a pretty dramatic problem for us is that people already come into our parking lot and turn around, because when it gets backed up on Blueberry and they can't turn left, they turn right, and then they turn around our parking lot, and then, of course, continue on. And so the proposal is going to create a massive amount of traffic trying to turn around the parking lot, because they can't turn you know, not everybody that lives in Blueberry Lane, of course, wants to go that direction to go into downtown, and they're not going to be able to do it, so it's just, it's going to create a big mess.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else that would like to come forward to speak to the City Council? Just because you haven't signed up doesn't mean that you can't come forward. Is there anybody else that would like to come forward this evening to speak to the Council? Anybody at all? Okay. We'll go ahead and move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Rasmussen? Sorry?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Sir.
We have a first from Councilmember Rasmussen, a second from Councilmember Camp to approve the consent agenda. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. Count the numbers, 6-0. Thank you. Next item on the agenda is new business. This is AB 16-102. This is award bid and authorize Mayor Pro Tem to sign construction contract for 179th Avenue sidewalk project. As I've stated previously, this is a contract with Snohomish County, so I'm going to step out of the room for this one and give this to our Mayor Pro Tem. Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. Let the record show that Mayor Thomas has left the chambers. Brad, this is you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, this is an orderly contract to construct the sidewalk that's funded by the Theater Development Block Grant through Snohomish County from on the west side of 179th, starting at Main Street going north. We had three bidders. The low bidder is Trinity Contractors. They have no disbarment or any other things that would prevent them from being awarded the contract. So this staff's recommendation is the City Council will award the contract to that contractor and have the Mayor Pro Tem sign the contract as expressly authorized with future revisions if necessary or appropriate.
Council, any questions? Or? Raise your hand, please. Councilmember
Rasmussen. No questions. I'll just make a motion to move to award bid and authorize the Mayor Pro Tem to sign the construction contract for the 179th Avenue sidewalk project with Trinity Contractors, Inc., and expressly authorize any further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Motion has been made by Councilmember Rasmussen, seconded by Councilmember Scarborough. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the motion passes 6-0. Okay, next item. Another item. I'll get you back in.
Thank you.
Says Pro Tem.
Okay, thank you. The next item on the agenda is also another one. So this is new business item number two. Sorry. AB 16-103, authorizing Mayor Pro Tem to sign an interlocal agreement with Snohomish County et al. Establishing Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force. Had I realized that, I would have just stayed out there. Sorry for prolonging the meeting.
We can wait for you. Let the record show that Mayor Thomas has again exited the chamber. Chief Quenzer.
See him? Chief Quenzer isn't here. I can speak for this issue.
All right, thank you.
This is a standard agreement between the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office and the city to fund the Snohomish County Regional Drug Task Force. Our participation in this has been limited as far as manpower, but we do fund them financially. This goes right to what the sheriff was talking about in the address in the Herald issue of our county.
Okay. Councilmember Rasmussen?
I'll go ahead and make a motion to move to authorize Mayor Pro Tem to sign the interlocal agreement with Snohomish County at all establishing the Snohomish Regional Drug and Gang Task Force and expressly authorize any further minor revisions as deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made by Councilmember Rasmussen, seconded by Councilmember Gamble. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
No, he doesn't.
No, he's not coming back.
You gotta get your cubes down.
I should get my cubes.
Out there catching Pokemons.
Pokemons?
Probably.
if there's any in.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is not a mayor pro tem one. Final action number one. This is AB 16-104, authorized mayor to sign outdoor sculpture services agreement, and this would be Mr. Farrell.
So, yes, you have before you the proposed sculpture agreement that are reviewed by our city attorney. City Council passed a motion May 24th to direct the mayor and staff to negotiate a draft agreement for services with artist Kevin Patel for a downtown art sculpture. The agreement lays out the terms and scope for the artist to design, create, and deliver a metal sculpture representing Box Swifts and the Frank Wagner Elementary School's chimney to be installed at a site in our newly renovated downtown. And in the agreement, scope of services, there's a design approval, execution, and there's a payment schedule, and it's broken out in phases that work well for the artists and also for the city. And as this is common with arts, commission artwork, where the artist is kind of paying their way through the creation of the sculpture. And breaking into phases also allows the city then to check on a regular basis to make sure that progress is occurring. And I'll take any questions.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. No questions, just again, thank you, Mike, and back to the review committee for their work on this. I'm very excited to see this coming. And so with that, I'll go ahead and make a motion to authorize the mayor to sign the sculpture services agreement with artist Kevin Patel and expressly authorize further minor revisions to the extent deemed necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion from Councilmember Rasmussen to approve the agreement, and I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Scarborough.
Mike, did we ever talk to the sculptor about putting something around the base that he does slowly from it?
Yeah, we discussed that, and basically we thought the staff and the artists mutually agreed that the actual concrete base would be at the height, and then the sculpture itself that would be safe and visual and also deter as necessary, you know, just, issues with, you know, as far as safety and graffiti issues and things like that.
And are we looking at putting that on the southeast corner?
On the northwest corner.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, seeing none, we'll go ahead and vote. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is final action number two. This is AB 16-105, resolution number 012-2016, approving Iron Eagle preliminary plat. And we have our new senior planner, Shanna Restel, who's here to give the presentation this evening. Welcome.
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I've been informed that before we begin with the presentation that I will have to go over the appearance of fairness disclosures once again to everyone's pleasure. So if you all bear with me. Because the consideration of a site-specific rezone involves a public hearing and implicates the land use rights of a specific landowner slash party, the proceeding is quasi-judicial in nature and is subject to the appearance of fairness doctrine. The appearance of fairness doctrine requires that such proceedings be fair not only in fact, but also in appearance. The legal standard under this doctrine is whether a disinterested person being appraised of all relevant facts would be reasonably justified in thinking a particular decision maker's interest or involvement in the case may affect his or her judgment. I will now ask the City Council as a whole the following questions. A lack of a response will be viewed as a negative response. This first section will address interest. Does any council member have a financial interest in the project or underlying property? Does any council member have a family member who is a party of record? Does any council member have a personal or familial employment or other business relationship with a party of record? Does any council member own property within 500 feet of the project site? Is any council member aware of any other personal interest or involvement with the project, the parties of record, or the property that should fairly be disclosed? Thank you. I will be moving on to Section 2, addressing impartiality. Is any council member aware of any personal bias for or against any party or for or against the proposal? Has any council member prejudged any of the issues? Has any council member not reviewed the record materials for the proposal? Is any council member aware of any reason why he or she would not be able to perform his or her duties in an objective, impartial, and fair manner? Thank you. I will be going on to Section 3, which addresses ex parte communications. Has any council member had ex parte communications regarding this matter while the proposal has been pending? Thank you. Please let the record show that there were no affirmative answers from any of the City Council members. And at this time, the floor should be open for parties of record to formally challenge any of the council members pursuant to RCW 42.36.080. Appearance of fairness challenges are waived unless they are raised promptly when the reason for the alleged disqualification becomes known.
So with that, are there any challenges from the audience from parties of record?
Thank you. Please let the record show that there were no challenges made by parties of record. And this concludes the appearance of fairness disclosures. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Welcome. Let's try that again.
Good evening, Mayor Thomas and the City Council members. My name is Shanna Restall, and I'm the new senior planner for the city. This evening, staff, as you know, is bringing forward a request for preliminary plat approval for the 32-lot Iron Eagle plat. The subject site is located at 16691 Curry Road, which is north of 522 and east of Lakeview Avenue, southeast. I'll go ahead and apologize up front if I'm mispronouncing the name. You are probably fairly familiar with this project, as you discussed it on July 12th, but I will give you a little bit of background information. This proposal also requires a rezone, so the parcel itself was previously zoned. a large portion of it, 5.9 acres, was zoned UR 9600, and a smaller 0.71 acre portion was zoned MR 6000. On July 12th, the council approved a rezone to UR 6000. So that rezone was necessary in order to approve the preliminary plat. So here we are this evening. The plat itself has already been to the hearing examiner, who has issued a recommendation of approval. The public hearing for the preliminary plat was on June 9th, 2016. And it was found that the requested subdivision, well, the recommendation found that the requested subdivision was in compliance with MMC Title 17 and also RCW 5817. So school-age children, their interests will, who reside in this development, will attend Chain Lake Elementary, Park Place Middle School, and Monroe High School. A CEQA determination on Iron Eagle was also issued on April 19th. There were no letters or appeals on the MD&S that was issued. There was one condition on the MD&S related to potential archaeological sites. And so, based on the application and facts and findings of the staff report, staff recommends that the hearing examiner recommend to the Monroe City that the Monroe City Council approve the Iron Eagle preliminary plat, subject to the conditions of approval that you will find in Resolution 12/2016. I am happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
No questions, but I move to approve resolution number 12-2016, adopting the hearing examiner's finding of fact, conclusions of law, recommendations, and conditions of approval for preliminary plat 15-SDPL-0001-Iron Eagle.
Second. Okay, thank you. I have a motion from Councilmember Camp and a second from Councilmember Davis to approve the resolution. So move to approve, a motion to approve the resolution number 012-2016 adopting the hearing examiner findings of fact, conclusions of law, recommendations, and conditions of approval for preliminary plat 15-SDPL-0001 Iron Eagle. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Gamble.
Just was one question. I read correctly and heard correctly. Did you say Chain Lake Elementary for the site?
I don't think so.
That's
right, because the division. Okay.
The division is, I think, 154.
Right.
154? Really?
I forgot about that.
You just surprised me.
It used to be.
Oh, that's right. You would know.
Are there any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. We'll go on to the next item on the agenda. This is council member reports, and we didn't have any committees to report out on or outside meetings from council members, so we'll go ahead and go down the line. Council member Gamble.
No report.
Okay. Council member Camp.
No report.
Council member Davis.
Nothing tonight.
Council member Rasmussen.
Yes, great week last week. Spent some time on vacation, STP for the first time.
Woohoo.
Thanks. While I was gone, did try to keep up on some stuff that was going on, and in regards to the, I understand we had a school here in town with a unfortunate instance with E. coli, but had a conversation with Dr. Goldbaum this morning from the health district, and sounds like that is taken care of. Everything's done and cleaned, and you know, they were very appreciative of the school and all involved, and so feel very confident. And actually, kids were there back in it, I think as of yesterday. So that was great to see that. On that, I just want to. So I was able to do it last week. Give kudos to our Parks Department and all the city staff for the Seahawks training camp that was down at Sky River Park on the 15th. Talking to my team at the club, sounds like it was a huge turnout, very successful. Almost 200 kids were down there. So kudos to all involved with that.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Nothing tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough.
Would you like to speak to the Snohomish County Cities meeting we went to?
Go for it, please.
We went to the meeting last Thursday and had an informative speaker, and of course everything to me is kind of new and informative, so I always like going and hearing what the subjects are, and I'm always picking up a little more information, so it's not a waste of time for me. So
it's good. Thank you. So we will go ahead and go out to staff. Let's go ahead and start off, before we go department to department, we'll go ahead and start off with the Public Works Department on Blueberry Lane and Kelsey Street traffic revisions. Mr. Feilberg.
I wasn't here last week, so I'm not sure exactly what you told us to do.
I'll go ahead.
I heard that you guys were going to talk about it.
So I'll go ahead and give a little bit of a lead-in. And I see the Councilmember Camp has pushed his button as well. So as you're aware, Council voted a number of weeks ago, a couple weeks ago, to have the pork shop installed. We've received comments after that decision, and Councilmember Camp was not here, so the request was to bring this back for more discussion this evening. As of today, we had received a number of other comments from folks, and I believe the council members have received those in their inboxes. And we had asked to have this brought back for some additional conversation, and that's where things are right now. I'm going to go ahead, because I've got a number of lights here. I know the council member Camp was first. I'll go ahead and flip a coin. I think it was Councilmember Gamble, and I think it was Councilmember Scarborough. So we'll start off with Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I asked if we could have a review of the Blueberry Kelsey changes, because I wasn't here that week, and I just wanted more information and just an opportunity to discuss it and an opportunity for the public to hear a little bit more about it. First off, I want to thank everyone who's here tonight for it, and everyone who replied back to either emails or Facebook, it was very informative, and I saw a lot of interaction from people. Second, I'd like to thank Council for, I know you've made a decision, but for opening this up for another review, just so we look at. A decision has been made. It'll be up to Council to change it if need be, but that's where we're at this point. Some of the things that I saw that I just wanted to point out. With the addition of Tierney, we now have an east-west connector that multiple mayors have discussed. We can go from Frylands Boulevard all the way out to East Monroe and back without having to drive down Highway 2, which is really important, especially when we run into fair days. That was my first consideration. I would hate to see that go away, even in one direction. I think it's important. It'll need to be better developed as we move forward with the city. The other issue, and I kind of did a little driving around, West Columbia, if we did this block, I can picture people going down to West Columbia and using that as a left turn lane. It's the epitome of a residential street. I don't think it could handle the amount of traffic that is normally goes down Blueberry Lane, so we'd have to either change the infrastructure or do something else to prevent that traffic. The other options I heard about and I'd forgotten. There's some alleyways that I've used in the past to bypass traffic and turn around and go north on Kelsey, on the east side of Kelsey. And yes, I have also used state roofing as turnaround when I was in a real hurry, and I know that's unfortunate, and I apologize now. On behalf of everyone who's done that. So those are the points. I saw those, and I was hoping that we could have a discussion tonight. And either come to a different decision, if possible, or if this is the best solution, then we move forward with it. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, I too appreciated all the input and stuff. Sometimes we put those notifications out there and it's crickets.
Yeah.
So we don't get any sort of input. So it was good. I mean, one of the things that I appreciated being here tonight in regards to that too is that when we did discuss it. I mean, this is something that for some of us have been up here for six years, however many it is for you, Patsy. The mayor. I mean, that intersection has been a topic of conversation and getting emails and stuff. So there definitely is a want to amongst, I know, the council, the staff, the mayor, that we want to do something about it. Now, getting everybody to agree on what the, right thing to do, that's a horse of a different color. And so obviously we're relying heavily on our engineers, public safety officers and stuff to advise us the best, what's the best way, because we're trying to accomplish traffic flow and safety. What was great is after we sent the informational stuff out there is getting all of the ideas, they just flooded in. There was a couple that really caught my eye, because actually I tend to agree with the gentleman that spoke from state roofing in regards to, I see the real problem there is actually to trying to turn left on the Blueberry when you're going north on Kelsey. That's kind of the bugaboo there. So we've had all kinds of suggestions and no left-hand turn signs only. I know when we discussed that there was reluctance across the board that would just in itself, would that really fix the issue, or is it something that we try? But I'm really intrigued after all the discussion. I think I replied to every email that I got. And if I didn't, come find me later, and we can discuss. And then reading also all the comments, on Facebook and social media alike. And there was a whole host of stuff, even crazier than Kevin's one-way, solution all the way. And I wish he was here for me to hear me call it crazy, because I thought it was. The one that left-hand turn, I mean, really, Brad, I guess the question, I would have as a potential is that I'm seeing some actually validity. Now, obviously, I'm admittedly not a traffic engineer in any way, shape, or form. I did stay at Holiday Inn Express last night. But if, a lot of the recommendations that came, forward, I actually started looking at it and saying, that's a pretty good idea. Did you finally get it? You got it?
No, I don't have TV, so I don't.
Oh, okay. is the half a pork chop idea, from the standpoint of if we're truly trying to address, and on my mind, I'm all in on, you know, mitigating that turn onto Blueberry, is that if we made it so you actually did a combination of, you put a sign up that basically says no left-hand turn during the hours of such and such and such and such, that the mayor, you know, had whatever we deem as the peak, you know, hours, but you still could make that left-hand turn off of Blueberry onto Kelsey during non-peak hours, when, you know, I don't think there's anybody that disagrees there's a large, you know, time of the day that you can make that left-hand turn and it's just fine. Where you could do that, but then you would make it so that for Kelsey, you would put a sign on the other side that just says no left-hand access or no turn access to Blueberry from Kelsey. That's it. And you accomplish kind of the same thing, but really the biggest complaint that I heard that was resounding coming through from citizens across was the not being able to turn off of Blueberry onto Kelsey. And there were several people that actually even spoke, hey, if I can only make a right-hand turn, I'm fine with that, or whatever. I can make a left-hand on Kelsey and then take Columbia down and come, you know, access that way, because I know I can't make a left. But that was the consensus. And then the other piece was in regards to the state roofing feedback we received tonight. When we did review this several weeks ago, you know, in that presentation, you know, the presentation was is that it wouldn't impact that property owner. And now we have that information that says that, you know, hey, this could be an impact. But if I'm looking at the pictures right that are in front of me, and thank you for that, by the way, and I was checking Google Maps, just so you know, it wasn't Facebook, it was Google Maps, looking at that intersection. If we just did that half a pork chop look, I don't think it would affect state roofing's ability to get in and out based off of where that gate specifically that you're talking about is in relation to that. So if I'm looking at the, you know, the pictures here, Brad, if you just made that right-hand turn lane into a right into the pork chop, so you're basically filling that lane so there's no access off of, but you're not actually putting that center curbing all the way down. Does that make sense? That's all. I mean, I don't have a traffic study to back me up, you know, as we, you know, the recommendation that you made, but it definitely something that, yeah.
I didn't make a recommendation.
Yeah. What's that?
I didn't make a recommendation. I said, well, presentation to you.
Yeah, but I asked both you and the chief at the end of that what your recommendation was specifically, and both of you guys said that is my recommendation. So that's specifically what I'm speaking about and when I might make that reference. Thanks.
Thank you. Councilmember Scarborough?
Thank you. I've had both comments. I've had people that have come up to me and said, thank goodness you're finally doing something about that problem. But the way I understand you, Mr. Smith, is that what we're going to do is force your trucks over that center curve to make that turn, which is a good point. Thank you for bringing that to us. I like the idea of the widening and making it three lanes so you can have a center lane that can turn left and the center lane to be turned onto from the Blueberry. Also, Mr. Jensen's input about a stop sign, making it at least a three-way stop perhaps. Went to a presentation once where in Spokane was a sheriff's department and the police department was doing a presentation in one parking lot, and then they were giving the visual in the parking lot across the street, and the comment was, don't try to cross the street because the speed limit sign is merely a suggestion. So the same thing as we watch the sign in downtown that says no right or no left turn between 3 and 6, most people pay attention to it until the one person who doesn't pay attention to it. So I'm not against putting up signs like that to try it, to see if people will comply. I have sympathy, as Mr. Campbell says, about the people who, on non-peak hours, want to make a left turn onto Kelsey and get across the tracks, and we're taking that away from them. We've got a lot of good points here that have been brought up. I don't know exactly what the solution is, but I agree that there may be something better than we have come up with.
Thank you.
So we could probably spend all night here as 8 elected officials going over engineering and our thoughts based on our driver's licenses, which I once had an engineer tell me that if you had a driver's license, you could do traffic engineering. I don't think that that's the case. I would like to propose to council that staff go back and look at this. We've received the public comment that we talked about a couple weeks ago that that I felt was of value to get, so we've got the public comment now. Give us an opportunity to go back and look at this and find out what additional solutions we can bring forward to address this. So rather than do the engineering and everything here tonight, please recognize that there is direction right now from council to proceed with buying the materials to install this, and if you would agree with the direction that I've suggested, then I would be looking for perhaps a motion to direct the mayor and staff to go back and look at other alternatives to deal with this, and then bring this back in a couple weeks for discussion. We would then, if we haven't already ordered the material, we would then not order the material and wait till we come back and go over that with you. So that's one thought. There are numerous other ways that we could approach this, but that's one thought that I have to offer. Councilmember Camp.
Actually, it's Councilmember Gamble.
Okay, Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, no, I guess I'm for that. I do want to move because I know that we are a little bit of in a time crunch, because I know we all want to take action. They want to do something. And a lot of it, you know, we're trying to take into consideration this. You know, we're in the off season for school, so we can keep the school district involved, that sort of thing. I'm still heavily a proponent of whatever way we can, mitigating or eliminating, you know, the possibility. To me, now, there may be data and research that shows that that's not the right thing. Everything we heard before was that is the right thing, of taking that left from Kelsey on to Blueberry. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, I still would like to see that in, you know, whatever potential solution we are coming back with. Because I don't personally believe that just signs are going to do it. I do think we need to make some sort of adjustment there beyond just the signs. I think actually a combination of both might be the answer.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I agree. In terms of a temporary solution, signs could work. But the question is, how long would it be temporary, and how long? We're reaching a crunch point. We really need to have an answer, a more definite solution for this issue. And I've seen some really good ideas that I think it would be a good idea to go back to have the engineering staff look at it. So they have ordered the equipment or the materials?
Have we ordered the seekers?
It's no order, not
that. I think we're right on the cusp of ordering them. We did have direction, and I didn't want staff to slow down at the same time.
Right.
I think there was an acknowledgement that there was a meeting this evening for discussion, and if we were right on the cusp of ordering today, that they may have waited till tomorrow. But we can certainly probably cancel the order. This is a major policy choice, so, you know.
Right. I just want to make sure they're not leaving ourselves hanging out to dry, or if the materials that we do order can be used in another location for some other purpose, wouldn't be a problem with that.
Okay.
I agree with Councilmember Gamble's point. Signs would work as a temporary solution, but something more permanent needs to be done. That's about it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Yes, I agree with the direction to go back and look at some alternatives. And thank you, Mr. Smith, for coming, because we did talk about state roofing when we originally looked at this, and we didn't think there would be an impact. So I appreciate you letting us know that that would impact your business. And I do agree, though, that people do use that as an east-west connector. Mm-hmm. I use it like that.
Especially now.
You know, and so it is an opportunity to stay off Highway 2. So while I understand that left turn, you know, it's not an easy intersection. So I'm curious what you come back with and what other alternatives there are. So I do appreciate all the public input, too, because that's incredibly helpful when people respond and give their opinion and other alternatives that helps us make a better decision. So I'm fine. I agree we have to do something, but I want to do the right thing. So if we have to take a step back to kind of look at other alternatives, I think that's the wisest course.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
Yeah, and the only other thing I would say is that I think all of us agree, I mean, we say that the signs are a temporary solution. I would argue that even, you know, if we come up with a temporary permanent solution, it's not the optimal. We have a larger issue in regards to our city being cut in half from a north-south perspective by the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
And it's something that we continually talk about. But somewhere, I mean, I don't know if this is a transportation committee, whatever the case may be, but I know we joke a lot about the BNSF and, you know, we can't do anything, whatever, but, you know, maybe it would truly be getting that on, whether it's transportation committee or coming back, and let's start the dialogue. Because if we're looking, you know, I look at those two roads and I say, hey, we're only one contract away from, you know, whether it's coal trains or whatever, where we have that problem gets magnified by a factor of, you know, 10 or 20. And if we don't at least have, if we haven't at least started the conversation, then we're just putting ourselves, you know, potentially in a bigger hole, because something like that or that magnitude, when that was in the papers, it wouldn't just be us trying to work with the BNSF, it would be all the other small cities and municipalities that would, you know, be approaching in regards to whatever impact that would have on them. So, you know, maybe we could get that added into the transportation committee to start taking a look at or starting the dialogue. I mean, I know, Brad, it's going to cost us, what, $80 million to put overpasses in or whatever?
Well, each one of them costs about
$30 million. $30 million?
I mean, $30 million.
I was going to say, let's do it now. It's $30,000. We'll put the hat out right now. But truly, you know, you look at the, you know, being able to make it through our city, those are those two streets in particular, and connecting, you know, the North Kelsey to the downtown. We really should start having strategic conversation about that, in my opinion. So, and he wrote every word down, so I know where
it's all recorded.
It's all recorded, and he wrote it
down. I'm trying to help out with a motion here.
All right.
Do we have to rescind the old motion?
That's what I'm working on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right, this will probably do. Councilmember Raskinson.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm perfectly happy having a long-term solution be brought to the P4 committee, and as long as you're okay with it as well, Councilmember Davis, and I would be more in favor of kind of getting that conversation rolling as soon as possible within the committee. So, because absolutely, I mean, obviously, a long-term fix is needed, and you know, this was what's on the proposal was kind of a temporary fix, even though it had some permanent aspect to it, but I'm definitely in favor of re-looking at this based off the feedback that we've got, but I'm also very much in favor of having our committee look at a longer-term solution to bring back to council as well.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback?
Is this something that we could give to the Planning Commission? Would it fit into their calendar? I mean, just because that's more volunteers, is this something they would
I think that when we look at Planning Commission, we're looking more at land use rather than traffic patterns. So, you know, they do take a look at transportation plans and things like that. This is getting into a level of detail that I would feel more comfortable having a professional engineer look at and then bring forward and either talk at committee with a couple of alternatives and really roll your sleeves up into it and then bring forward to the City Council. I think one way to get the community outreach that you might be looking at with the Planning Commission is holding a community outreach meeting, and very much like we did with the downtown, I think it's an appropriate thing to do to have a community meeting, have a bunch of plans up on the board, have a little Q&A. We did the same thing when we were talking about the roundabout here in downtown, and you know, I know that this may, it's an inexpensive fix. It's not like installing a brand new interchange or roundabout or widening 522, but this has a very significant impact. So this would be something I think having a community meeting about would be good, just like we did downtown.
Yeah, because we talked about public input and getting the word out, and I think that's somewhere where we could look back and go, do we miss a beat by not doing a little bit more outreach of, hey, we're thinking about this, come to us, or have a meeting around it. I think that's where I missed a beat, is really really pushing that. I wanted notice and I wanted people to give their opinion, but you know, this does affect a lot of people, and so kind of backing up and going, I'm all for the engineers coming with plans. I wasn't suggesting the Planning Commission come up with that, but I was suggesting somehow we get a little bit more input from people on the plans.
Yep.
Besides just having a council meeting where they come and talk for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So that might be a step we consider, that we have, you know, a community meeting after we have the plans. Might be an option. One thing I just want to mention is we were looking at doing something. We're looking at a cost-effective way. So I want the community to understand that. We were trying to look at doing something where it wasn't permanent, where we could test it and not spend a ton of money on a plan that we didn't know was going to be the permanent plan. Because when we look at widening or look at roundabouts and things like that, that's an expensive undertaking that might take us a few years to plan and divert some money to here instead of another worthy project. So that might be something we have to look at, is does this need to rise up in the plan, in the transportation plan, to a higher number? So thank you.
Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, thanks for the comments. I was going to bring up the low cost. I mean, this is, you know, a lot of comments in regards to we shouldn't spend a penny and, you know, we should put it towards a long-term solution. Well, a long-term solution may be a $20 or $30 million project, and I don't think we can sit around and wait and not take action on something that we know was that glaring of an issue, when we could make an impact on traffic flow and safety with a $5,000 investment. So that, I think, is important to illustrate. The other thing is, the public comment is huge, but there's a piece of me that thinks that, you know, we actually may have gotten this one right from the standpoint of going out and getting the public input, because at the end of the day, all the input and stuff we're getting, I have yet to get an email from a traffic engineer. You know, there's been, and whether we're changing the speed limit or we're changing any sort of, you know, public flow of road, I mean, there's professionals that do that, you know, in regards. And what's great is getting that input. And yeah, we can adjust, you know, and put it. We've shown we have a track record of doing that. That's exactly, you know, how it is. But at the end of the day, we need to make a decision that's in the best interest based on professional, you know, information that tries to take into consideration all of that input. So while I think, you know, hey, we can have a public, you know, or meeting or planning session, but I just don't know what we would gather from that other than what we already have from the public comment that we got. We know we want to take action. We need to take action, and we need to take it based on, you know, some pretty good guiding principles and data from engineers and people that get paid to do that type of work. So that's my thought on that. I feel that, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I laugh a little bit because a lot of the comments were, you just need to put a roundabout in. But oh my God, when we put the first roundabout in the row, I thought the world was going to end.
Yeah.
So, but now that's the best thing since sliced bread. So I have a lot of faith and trust, you know, in our city staff and the professionals that we hire, and I'm sure that we can incorporate some of this feedback and put it in. But by no means are we going to be able, in my opinion, unless we can spend $30 million, put an overpass in or a roundabout, are we going to be able to meet everybody's, you know, traffic need in regard. It's finding that, you know, what is the best case, that temporary permanent fix until we can get the $30 million, will actually be 60 right back, because we want 30 piece. So that's just my 2 cents on that.
Thank you. I don't see any other lights. I do have a motion to offer that reflects what I was saying earlier. I don't know if there's a council member that would like to try to read this. Council member.
Good Lord.
I'm not a doctor. I can read it.
Yeah, you read it. We'll see if we agree.
Okay. So the motion that I would offer would be to move to provide direction to mayor and staff to develop alternatives to improve safety and traffic at Blueberry and North Kelsey, and to hold on proceeding with installing the C-curb and pork chop that council approved on July 12th.
So moved. Second.
Okay. So what I just read into the record was moved by Councilmember Camp, seconded by Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much, everybody. All right, the next item that we have on the agenda, we're still going through department reports. Let's go ahead and go department by department now. The next department we have, let's go ahead and pick on Mr. Worthen. You sure?
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Farrell.
Thank you, Mayor. Since there's going to be no meeting canceled next week, just want to do a quick rundown. You can check on the website, the Parks and Rec brochure, for more information or contact us. But there's a lot of things going on outside of the parks, which is beautiful weather. This Friday is the last of the music concerts. It's Dana Osborne Band, Lake Tide. So come on out. And then Saturday is the NWWSA Wakeboard event. And then next, this upcoming Tuesday, a week from now, is National Night Out Against Crime at Lake Tide Park. Events from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. And of course, every Wednesday, tomorrow, or next Wednesday, is the Farm Table Market. And that's been going on successfully over at Lake Tide Park as well. And then the following Friday is the movies Under the Moon, the first one of the series, and that's the movie Inside Out. And that movie starts at dusk, which is roughly around 9 p.m., but there's pre-movie music and crafts and all kinds of stuff. And then that Saturday is the Lake Tide Triathlon. That's all.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble has a question for you. Councilmember Gamble.
Doggy paddle.
Ball returns.
Yes. We have them, and we have not installed them. We just haven't got to do that yet, but we do have ball returns.
So it's on the agenda for this year? Or?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we'll install it. We're just running through a lot of things. We're still filling a maintenance position from somebody that retired as well. So it's just about getting that time for it to get out there. So.
And that is, did we order them both for Lake Tide and?
Yes, we have them for all fields in our session. So we'll be installing them this summer.
Great, thanks.
And I have two questions for you real quick. How's the skate park going? Are we still on target for August 13th?
We are on target for the August 13th grand opening. We meet with them weekly, and I met with them today, and there's a lot of concrete pouring going on, and it'll go on this week and next, and then they'll be moving into reinstalling the fence and getting to the point of the punch list and that sort of thing.
I don't know. I'm pretty certain we've mentioned it, Council, and if not, I want to do it today since we're not going to have a meeting on the 2nd. We are having the grand opening on August 13th at Lake Tide Park for the skate park. We have a wakeboard competition that's occurring that day, and there will be some sort of skating event.
Yes.
Would you like to share a little bit more?
Exactly. Okay. So there's the Dust Off the Rust INT Wake Surf and Ski event going on. That is on the 13th of August, and also on the 14th. So Saturday and Sunday, and on Saturday the 13th, there will be a skateboarding event, basically kicking off the skate park. That'll start at 11 a.m. So we're scheduling the grand opening, and press release will be going out later this week for 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 13th.
So I ask you all to hold the date if you're available. It'd be really awesome to have everybody there. And the second one, you and I talked about the slide at Sky River Park.
Right. So we have a slide that needs to be replaced, and we ordered the slide. We have the slide, and we will be reinstalling the new slide shortly, within the next couple of weeks. On that note, since you brought it up, this is an example of the fact that the Sky River Park Playground and the Lake Tide Park Playgrounds are well past their useful life. They are safe. People can utilize them. However, when we get to a point where we have to replace a portion of the playground, what we're running into is there aren't replacement parts, so we have to get something totally new, and then we have to work with the playground supplier to find fittings and whatnot to get it to attached to the playground, so it's just, that's kind of what we're looking at. So down the road here, we have in this EIP, so the plan is to eventually replace the playgrounds if those two parks sense.
Sounds good. Thank you very much, Mr. Farrell. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Mike, just a quick question in regards to the playground. So, like the playground there at Sky River Park, for instance, to replace it as something similar or equivalent? What's the price tag on something like that?
Oh gosh, off the top of my head, I believe it's about $100,000.
Okay.
You're talking about all the equipment and all the surfacing and purchasing it and installing the equipment.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anything else for the Parks Department? All right. Finance. How are things going?
I have nothing to report tonight. In your packet is information on the utility bill adjustment policy for your review.
And at this point in time, we haven't received any other direction from council on that matter, so we won't be proceeding with any other work on that at this time. Okay. All right. Any questions for Ms. Nelson? I was already thinking about Mr. Osaki. So. Okay, Mr. Osaki.
Just one item. A few months ago, the council authorized the mayor to sign a contract with a firm to prepare a strategic plan for the downtown with the idea that we look at organizational structure for how we can create a sustained organization to support downtown. As part of that, the consultant's been meeting with stakeholders as part of a committee group and then individually with individual interviews, but also the scope had a broader community survey and a public survey to get individuals and the public's perception of downtown. And if all works right, within sometime by the end of this week, we will have online a link to a SurveyMonkey survey for the public to take with a series of questions about perceptions of downtown. So I just want to make sure you know about that. And that survey will be in both English and Spanish. And so once we get it up on the website, we'll be going out and letting as many people and organizations know as possible that the survey online regarding downtown is that can be taken.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble?
Chris, can you run with that survey for us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Osaki? You had a planning commission meeting last night. How'd that go?
We had a planning commission meeting last night, and one of the eight goals of the conference plan has been actually downtown, to establish a thriving downtown, and we're looking at the downtown commercial district specifically with the purpose of making changes there to support that goal. That's been ongoing for the last couple of months.
Sounds good. Back to the Parks Department. Mr. Farrell,
yes.
Just real quick, council had directed something about looking at smoking and vaping in parks. Has that gone to the Parks Board yet?
It was introduced to the Parks Board, and they will next meet in August, so they'll be working.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Any other questions for planning or community development? All right. Let's go forward. Deputy Chief Bernard.
Nothing to report. However, I would like to mention on August 2nd is National Night Out Against Crime. I would like to thank Rotary for all the work that they put into that and invite you all to attend if you have the time.
Thank you. Any questions for PD? All right, seeing none. I was going to call you Council Member Mr. Feilberg. I was looking this way. I was thinking Council Member, and I looked at you. Mr. Feilberg.
Nothing else.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Feilberg? All right. Before we go on to the Administrator's Report and to my report and to the land sales update, we do have the need to add one item to the agenda this evening. This would be, I guess, under... An after the fact sort of new business. This would be staff department. I'm sorry, this would be what's the title of it? Okay. So we're going to need to add something to the agenda to vote on to approve. Go for it.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm in.
You're in.
Several weeks ago, I was approached by a development firm that's interested in Tract 999, which is the old landfill. I spoke with our attorney, Zach Lal, about it, and he was not comfortable administering that particular contract and putting it on board because it is kind of outside their wheelhouse, if you will, of expertise. So I went ahead and talked with Zach. He gave a referral of two attorney firms that specialize in these type of sites where there's been a landfill in the past, and He suggested two attorney firms, as I mentioned, so I called one and had a great conversation with this individual. The company is called Veris Law Group, and the person that would be in charge of it is Howard Jensen, and he just happened to work for Ogden, Murphy & Wallace with this act a number of years ago, and then broke off to start and work with this other firm. I spoke with the individual, Howard, today, and he immediately got me documents to go ahead and get under contract with Veris to put an RFP, or not an RFP, a letter of intent together for the potential buyer, and that would start the process to ensure that this potential buyer is definitely interested in this before we get too deep into spending a lot of money and putting a purchase and sale agreement together. Again, Zach is very comfortable with this firm. I'm very comfortable with this firm. Sorry for the late notice, but Howard was out of town last week, so I wasn't able to get anything from him, and he got right on it when he got into town yesterday and provided it to me today. So there's a motion, and I'm open to any questions.
Councilmember Cutterback?
Do we have a copy of the contract for the council to see? Or is that what this is?
We do not. So what we've got going is it would be a motion to have mayor work up a contract, or however it was wrote, I don't remember, but Zach helped formulate the motion. And we would use our existing boilerplate language, and the mayor would go ahead and get that in process. My concern was I didn't want to sit for 2 weeks to get somebody on board, because this particular buyer needs to turn the money, meaning that they had either sold property or came into some money where they need to turn it to avoid taxation or some darn thing. But anyway, point being is that they're on a tight time schedule. They're very much interested in it, and I didn't think it was worth waiting 2 weeks before we got under contract. My hope is to have a letter of intent to council within 2 weeks.
My one question, just briefly looking at that, I see their hourly rate. How does that compare to our attorneys? Do we have that budgeted, because this is outside our attorneys?
It will fit into our existing budget.
Okay.
It is a little higher than we pay Zach. However, they gave us their government rate, which is a discounted rate, which I really appreciated.
So. Okay.
The main thing is that this firm specializes in this, and when you're talking about landfill materials, it's very important to indemnify us as much as possible. So.
I get that. I'll make a motion. So I move to authorize the mayor to execute a professional service agreement with Veris Law Group, PLLC, for legal services related to the landfill property in
Councilmember Cutterback, we need to add it to the agenda first.
Oh, we haven't done that.
Yeah, okay. So, and that's what I started in on with the land sales update, was I didn't know the title to add to the agenda.
Okay.
So we would be looking at a motion to add to the agenda, authorizing the mayor to sign a contract with Veris Law Group. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion from Councilmember Cutterback and a Councilmember Scarborough to add this to the agenda. Discussion on adding this to the agenda. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Now we're back.
There you go. So I will make I move to authorize the mayor to execute a professional service agreement with Veris Law Group, PLLC, for legal services related to the landfill property in substantially the form presented to council, together with such revisions that the mayor may deem necessary or appropriate.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cutterback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen to authorize the mayor to sign this contract. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you. All right, if you just pass those down, people too, that'd be great. Okay, we will, Councilmember Gamble, or not? Did you have something?
I'm good.
Okay. Mr. Brassel?
In 2 weeks when we come back, I will make sure that council has a copy of the contract, and I will give you an update at that time so everybody's up to speed at that time.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, sounds good. So we'll go ahead and go through administrator's report and then my report, and then we'll come back to the agenda.
This morning, the mayor and I attended this SCIP meeting that we do every month, and the main topic again was to talk about Sound Transit 3. We had quite a little bit of discussion on that. There was also an invite that was put out for August 18th. There's going to be a group of individuals out to look at the trestle and the widening, potential widening and replacing the actual trestle. They'll be from WashDOT and the legislator's office, I believe. I've got that story right.
I'm sorry. I was just
the US 2 trestle meeting. So we've got WashDOT that will be there and some legislators that will be there.
Yes, 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 yes.
So again, that's it. On August 18th from 9 to 11, they'll be doing a tour out there. There's a lot of attention right now being given to 522 and Highway 2, and during the meeting there was good support from the SCIT group itself to continue to move that forward, and I had forwarded to council last week the 2017 regional priorities from Economic Alliance, and you noticed on that those two highways were one of the top things that are going to be pushed down in Olympia this year. And that's all I had.
So, let me go ahead and add on that. So the U.S. Highway 2 Safety Coalition was there today, also represented by Mr. Fred Walzer from Monroe. One of the things when you're looking at the transportation infrastructure, the legislative priorities sheet here, you'll notice that U.S. 2 corridor is listed there. There was some concern that the Monroe bypass was not on this list, and that was added to the list. Mr. Walzer pointed out the importance of having it on there. The SCIT folks felt that US 2 corridor included the Monroe bypass, and through further conversation we kind of pointed out that we had been talking a lot about safety improvements all this time on Highway 2, and perhaps we need to do a better job of explaining that, look, there's an honest to goodness project there, which is the bypass. We also had to educate the group. One of the questions that was asked of us was, is the right of way even under the state's ownership to do this? The answer was yes. We have had 90% of it in public ownership since roughly 1967. Mm-hmm. So resoundingly yes. And I use that as an opportunity because they were talking about adding in like the Edmonds Ferry and then SR9, and pretty soon this list kept growing in the meeting. I explained to them that we are a manufacturing center out here. We have a lot of people that come to work here. We are a population of over 18,000 people, and that we have this unfortunate occurrence where a project gets started, some of it gets done, but it never quite gets finished. And that the Highway 2 bypass was a good example of that, and so too was the 522 corridor being completed. And that we out here in the southeastern part of the county want to see the projects done. And I got up on my soapbox a little bit about that, and I think they understand why it's perhaps different out here. We're not asking for a new project. We're just asking you to complete the projects that had been started, so we don't have to rework construction drawings again in the future, and so on and so forth. So I am thankful that people were that they listened to what both Mr. Walzer and I had to say, and that they added the Monroe bypass to this. And I do thank all of our partners there at SCIT and the Economic Alliance for helping to support us in that. There's also discussion on ST3 and ST2, that even though we don't pay for it here, should it pass in November, we do have a lot of people that work here that will benefit from having mass transit all the way up into Snohomish County, and people that I know that I used to commute with on the bus would commute on the bus over to the Everett station, where they would then hop on the train and head down unless a landslide took out part of the tracks. So I know that there are people that that will benefit from that live here in our community, which is why we showed support for that back a few months ago. But anyway, it was a really good meeting, and I was happy that the way things went with that. And then I left. Did anything happen after I left?
Yeah, I volunteered to be on the committee to update the bylaws.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
I think I owe you a bottle of bourbon for that. And I do want to add, there was also discussion about a manufacturing and industrial center committee or something, and I'm going to ask staff to follow up a little bit more on that. I am really concerned that there's so much focus on the I-5 corridor that there's a lack of focus and understanding that we are a standalone community out here. Yeah, I try to explain that my planning background, the definition of sprawl is kind of what I see in the Southwest County, where you see apartment complexes in the county. They're not in Mill Creek, they're not in Bothell, they're not in Linwood. They're honest-to-goodness apartment complexes that have one county council member and one executive, a sheriff, but they don't have seven council members and a mayor or seven council members and a city manager. It looks like a city when you're driving through there. And I kind of want to see the growth in the cities, you know? So anyway, I do want to make certain that as the conversation is occurring about sub-regional centers and whatever the heck they're called, that we are part of that conversation. So I'll ask staff to touch base and see if that's something that we can at least be informed, if not be participants in. Okay, that's the extent, I guess, of the things that I attended. I am wearing pink today. On a side note, I'm going to be doing something with the American Cancer Society, so if you see me wearing pink a little bit more, you can understand that's what I'm doing. Jeans just cool. We showed up like this morning. It's like, right on, okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions for me? All right. I'm going to go ahead and hand things over to Gene.
Okay. Draft agenda for August 9th, 2016. Under announcements and presentation, we have Councilmember Dunchy with you in the audience and doing a brief presentation. And then Green Lamp Strategies will be here to go over the proposed 2017 legislative priorities. Then the consent agenda. Under new business, we have the 2017 legislative priorities to review. Discussion public works design and construction standards update. And then ordinance amending Monroe Municipal Code emissions tax, first reading. Going to council member reports, the legislative committee, the community transit board, the health district board, and Stormers County tomorrow, steering committee.
Thank you. A second. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I won't be able to attend the Stormers County tomorrow, sir. I'll see what I can get off on.
And before you proceed with the next item, one of the things that I had a conversation with somebody from the governor's office about at the Snohomish County Cities dinner was the importance of getting in our legislative priorities and capital asks to the governor's office before September. So I'm happy that things were moved up a little bit so that you will be considering that and potentially approving that at the meeting on the 9th. That'll allow us to get things to the governor, who puts together a proposed budget that goes to the legislature. All right.
That's it. Looking at the long-range agenda, our schedule. Reminder, we do not have a meeting next week. It's Night Out Against Crime. Any additions or deletions?
Councilmember Cutterback?
I will be absent on August 16th.
So Councilmember Cutterback, we'll find somebody else for you for the pledge.
I'm sure you can handle it.
Okay. Councilmember Campbell.
Based off the comment that you just made in regards to having our legislative priorities, so that I know one of them that we have on there is Lake Tyne, but it feels. I know that we've been told several times in the past that securing matching funds is... Wait, we have to have that lined up by... So that component, you know, we still have time to review. I know we have some stuff we're looking at in Finance Committee. Okay, so we still have time.
Yes.
Okay, great. That's all I know.
It'll help when we get for... if they start asking questions, then we'll answer the questions, and at that point in time, maybe there will be a need for matching funds, which will need to occur in the budget.
Right. Yeah, I was just looking to be, we might even have another meeting until September, so. Okay. Got it. Thanks.
All right. Councilmember Scarborough?
I will be here on the 16th, and we'll be, excuse me, yeah, the 16th, and we'll be here on the 23rd.
Okay. Sounds good. And I'd like to float an idea out there. We don't need a decision tonight. There are 5 meetings in August, which means that August 30th will be the 5th meeting in the month. We wouldn't normally have a meeting that evening, and I would recognize that September 5th is Labor Day. September 6th then is the council meeting after that. I'd like, and I'll talk with staff to see if there's a preference there, but I'd like you to maybe think through and talk about on the 9th the idea of if we need to have a meeting rather than having it on the 6th, maybe having it on the 30th so that staff can take, you know, we can have the 6th off from having a council meeting. So we'll talk on staff to see if that would upset any schedules, and if you could just kind of take a look at that on your calendar, see if you care. I'd appreciate that for the 9th. All right, is there anything else? All right, there being no further business this evening that I have, Councilmember Gamble.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Gamble, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. See you in 2 weeks.